It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all.
Welcome, everybody, to True Stories from Tinseltown. And today is the Christmas special. Ho, 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 ho. I wish I had my, I have a tambourine and it sounds just like jingle bells, but I just don't have it. So just imagine I'm jingling bells and Merry Feliz Navidad. So we're doing the Christmas show and we are here with my pal, Steve Powell. And we are going to talk Christmas movies, and I love talking to him because he knows so much about all the flicks, and you're just a fabu. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Grace. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
I was going to say
Happy
that.
Hanukkah.
You just took it out. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy
New Year.
Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Right. Everything. Or if you don't, if you're not any, if you don't really consider yourself any of those things, you know, happy.
Just
and
be,
also,
just be happy.
Yeah, happy.
Be merry.
Happy. And also, of course, I hope 2019 is a fabulous and healthy one for all, for one and all the listeners. Are you shuffling papers?
Am I?
Yeah.
Not right now.
Oh. Huh. Oh, it's my cat going in tissue paper. Okay, we're going to start the show. Tiggy always going to have attention. He doesn't know who I'm speaking to because, I, you know, he thinks I'm talking to him. All righty. So for our Christmas show, how we're going to start it is, why don't you tell everybody?
Well, I thought what we would do is, and the basis of maybe looking at this is to look at the book that TCM has been plugging this month, which was written on their behalf of the 30 Christmas movies that you must see. And that what we would do is go over those movies, but maybe the first initial question and the one that always seems to catch everybody for a little discussion is exactly what constitutes a Christmas movie. You know, you can have movies that are considered Christmas movies just because they happen at that time of year, because there's decorations in the on the set. And so really, as we look through these things, and what I would propose is we go through the 30 movies that TCM listed. And as we go through there, I think the initial question and the way that's going to affect how we look at these things is, you know, what exactly do you consider to be a Christmas movie, Grace?
Right. But are we going to talk about, we'll talk about the what we don't consider being a Christmas movie going down the list? Because
mm-hmm.
it's different for me probably than for you. Because some of them I get and some I don't.
Well, I think it's that way for everybody has sort of their personal you know, criteria of what's a Christmas movie or not. And, you know, I don't know if mine's more strict than maybe yours or the other way around.
I think you're a little more strict than me. That's just
that
my
be.
Opinion.
That could be.
You're strict. Okay. So I want to start with the list. We'll start with the number one, which is Miracle on Main Street. And neither of us have seen it. And it's very hard to find. I've not found it. And I'm really surprised they put it on it because I don't believe TCM has ever played it.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's weird that this would be the first one because there was a, in 1938, I believe, there was a version of the Christmas Carol. That was the one with what was his name, Reginald Owen,
yeah.
And the Lockhart family. That was actually
right.
June Lockhart's first film appearance. And, you know, you could have started with that one. Technically, I think there's some other ones you could have probably started with, but they decided to start with this one. So
Well, I believe the reason they didn't start with that one is because they're trying to get you to the one that they think is best. And I agree. So I guess that's why. I don't know. But perhaps that's why they did that. So Miracle on Main Street, I'm sure that's a Christmas movie. I think it has a manger in it and all this stuff. I've read a little bit about it.
Yeah. I read the IMDb on it. It cranked a big 6.2 on IMDb, which is not very,
Well, that's not bad, though.
No, it's not bad.
But I think so many people didn't see it.
Yeah, and the stars of it are, Margot, Walter Abel, and William Colliers. And, no big names in there.
No, but they must have liked it, those TCM peeps. So we have that one as numero uno. Number two is Remember the Night, and you have never seen that movie.
That's 1940. And also, these are all in chronological order.
Right.
Book. Mm-hmm. So it's not this is the best movie, best to worst. It's just chronologically. Remember the Night is a movie I think I've, it's one of those movies I think I've saw bits and pieces of it, but never saw. That's the one with Fred McMurray and
Barbara Stanwyck,
right? Yeah.
And it's a sweet movie. It's also kind of a sad movie in some respects. And she plays a shoplifter. He's the DA, and he's like, "I'm going to go tough on her, whatever." But then she doesn't get held. He gets her out, and he ends up taking her with him when he drives to his mom's house. And they fall in love, of course, and then complications ensue. But it's a sweet movie, and it is definitely a Christmas movie because it's all based on him going home for Christmas and her and meeting on Christmas and the whole nine yards.
And if I remember right, he brings her home, but he doesn't tell his mom, how they met,
right,
or the whole background. So the mom's not aware that she's actually,
a
crook.
Yeah, but mom finds out. Mom finds out. So it's an interesting and wonderful cast. Beulah Bondi, Elizabeth Patterson, and she's been in so many movies, but if you really don't know who she is, think of Mrs. Trumbull on I Love Lucy. Elizabeth Patterson, that's who she is. And Sterling Holloway, who's that big, tall, blonde guy who has that funny voice, and he's, Yeah, who is he? He's in Meet.
He played. He did the voice on Winnie the Pooh.
Oh yeah,
that's what a lot of people remember him as.
Huh. Okay, so Remember the Night is on December 22nd on TCM, and I would say if you haven't seen it, give it a good look because it is this very sweet movie, very well acted, and it's not a comedy really. It has comedic moments, but it's a good movie. You would enjoy it. And I think it is a darn good Christmas movie. Okay, next one. Yeah. Do you have the list in front of you?
The next one, I've got The Shop Around the Corner. That's 1940. I've seen this a couple of times. This is by probably my favorite director, Ernst Lubitsch. And it's a little different type of movie for Lubitsch than typical. It's a little bit more of a... a little bit more of a sentimental movie than some of his. I have seen where he has said this is his favorite movie that he made, which is interesting. This is as another movie. So many of these movies from the 30s and 40s, the supporting cast is just phenomenal. Who plays the older guy, the Hungarian. I just drew a blank.
You mean the boss?
No. Well, the boss was Morgan, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Frank Morgan.
And then the
guy who is sort of the dandy boy, or the other one who is Jimmy Stewart's friend.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart's friend, I think.
Felix Brassart.
Yeah, that's right. So there's. There's a strong cast in it. I think the character's good. I think
Maureen Sullivan.
Yeah, Maureen Sullivan.
Now, is that her name? Yeah, she's Sullivan, right? The other one is O'Sullivan.
Yeah, Margaret Sullivan.
Margaret Sullivan, that's it. I'm sorry.
Margaret Sullivan and James Stewart play very well together.
They make
a very good couple. Although some of the things you hear is that Margaret Sullivan was apparently a very hard actress to work with.
But she loved him, and he had a humongo crush on her. I read something. Walter Pigeon said she loved to play him around, whatever. They did, like, what movie was it? Something, I can't remember it. But it was a good movie. She did quite a few with him. They liked each other. I think he was kind of in love with her. So do you consider this a Christmas movie?
I do, because the ending, it comes down to Christmas on the ending. They occur in the season. And for me, the thing about a Christmas movie is it has to have something to do with sort of the Christmas season and sort of the by that I mean sort of the giving time and those kind of things.
Yeah.
It's got to be more than the fact that there's just some tinsel and evergreens in the background.
Yeah.
So I would consider this to be a Christmas movie.
Yes, I love this movie. I've seen it not just twice. I've seen it, like, I can't tell you how many times. And I think everyone is fabulous. Frank Morgan is wonderful. The kid that plays Pepe, I can't think of his name. Mm-hmm. He's wonderful. And it's just the guy, yeah. The dandy dude. I'm trying to think of his name. I know his name, but I can't think of it. But he, you know, the one who just comes in and is obnoxious and kiss ass and all that. And we won't say what happens because I'm not going to spoil. I've stopped being a spoiler and I'm proud of myself. So, yeah, with my last podcast, I haven't posted yet. And I just, like, I was so tempted and I said, I cannot be a spoiler. So I'm not. So, but it's a good movie. And if you haven't seen it, see it. And I agree 100%. It is a Christmas movie. Yeah.
And I would make it, I would put that to one of my, as we go through these 30, that's one of my top five.
I don't think that's my top five.
Yeah. And you know, and
could
again,
be six.
I'm a Lubitsch guy.
Yeah.
I like Lubitsch a lot.
Yes.
The next one's a little strange.
Oh, yeah. I just rewatched it.
Yeah, Beyond Tomorrow, 1940. This is a movie with Harry Carey and C. Aubrey Smith and Charles Wininger. And they are they're three business partners who also happen to live in a mansion together.
They're BFFs.
Yeah, they're BFFs. And then they decide on Christmas Eve night that they have no guests. They're sort of alienated.
They're with whomever. What's her name? Maria, you know, the werewolf lady.
Yeah, but she's her maid.
No, she lives there. No, she doesn't. She's not the maid. She
lives
there.
I thought she was
the
maid.
No, she's sitting at the dinner table. No.
Okay. I thought she was a domestic.
No. I just watched it.
Because I thought that was part. Well, the other guy, the Alex Mellish, who played was the butler, because he was Maria was like royalty in Russia.
Uh-huh.
And she was you know, she's in exile, and he's there. The Joseph character, you know, is always referring to her in that spectrum. But I thought that she was there as sort of that she did like domestic work there.
I don't know. Maybe she used to, but I'm not really sure.
We'll have to watch it again.
And I just saw it, so that's why I'm thinking she was not a domestic. She loved these guys, and they were her guys. She loved them. So,
but then the movie gets the movie's actually pretty interesting concept. And what they do is they really have no one, you know. They have people cancel on dinner, so they decide we're going to do a test of
honesty.
Human nature.
Yeah, human nature.
Honesty and human nature. We're going to throw a wallet out the window with our business cards on it, as well as a $10 bill, and we'll see who returns it. And the first person that picks it up is this wealthy woman who's going out partying, and she just takes the wallet.
Helen Vinson. that scamp woman from In Name Only, and she did a lot of films. She was very, and she played Maida's so-called best friend, but she's always off.
She was a scheming meanie.
She was.
She's a very good scheming meanie.
She's fabulous. Suzanne, that was her character's name. But in this, she was actually an entertainer, which we find out later. But she's also not honest. So, but then I think they kind of thought, never going to happen. And then what happens?
Then it's picked up by a young man, and then separately on two total strangers. The second one was a young woman. I believe it was Gene Parker
and Richard Carlson was the cowboy.
Right. That's right. Right. He's a cowboy. Mm-hmm. And, you don't want to give the plot away, but they have dinner. They become close friends. They spend sort of the holiday season together. And, a little bit of a romance sparks. Mm-hmm. And then the plot gets really strange.
It does. It's like, oh my God, holy heartbreak. Yeah. And it becomes this really kind of otherworldly, beyond tomorrow kind
literally
of thing.
Otherworldly.
Yes. And it's a cool concept. And I actually enjoyed this movie very much. It's weird.
I enjoyed it too, but it's a little, it's a little weird.
A little dark.
It's a little strange. Yeah, it is very dark. Well, because, there's, I'm not going to give the plot away, but there's three business guys here. One of them sort of, when he heads the wrong way. Instead of going
Carey.
Instead of going up to heaven, he's headed the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I really did enjoy this. I thought it was good. But it is different,
and
it's a Christmas movie.
Yes,
and I consider it a Christmas movie.
I consider this a Christmas movie too. The next one on the list. This is an interesting one because I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through until this year, but I've seen bits of it. And you just saw it for the first time as well. The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Yes, with Monty Woolley in just a phenomenal job.
Oh, I loved him. Loved him.
And he had played this role on Broadway.
He originated it, which you can tell. You can tell it was a play. Yes.
This was the play was written by Moss Hart. And and it was written actually about a friend of his who apparently he was at a staying at some friend's house and got snowed in or something. Mm-hmm. And the guy was just insufferable. So Moss Hart ended up writing a play with about this and just sort of, with fictional characters. And the play ran and it had a successful run on Broadway. And actually Monty Woolley played the part of it. The story is there's this guy, he's a college professor. He's a he's got a radio show, so he's an entertainer. He's involved in everything.
He knows everyone. He's like Mr. Thing.
And he's visiting this small town, and while he's visiting these poor folks' house, he falls on some ice and breaks his leg,
his hip allegedly. Yes. Breaks
or so we think.
Yes. And so he's stuck there.
Yeah, so he's stuck there in a wheelchair, and his personal assistant, who's played by Bette Davis, in a very different type of Bette Davis role than what you would typically see.
Yes.
She's almost sort of a – you don't expect to see Bette Davis as sort of a type B person, She's not out there – I'm not out in the front. She's sort of in the back.
Which is funny because if you listen to the intro and outro, Ben Mankiewicz said that Bette – because I knew that – John Barrymore had wanted this part, but I did not know that Bette Davis was the one who suggested him for the part because she wanted him she wanted to work with him. And he did a screen test, and I saw it, and it was, oh, my.
This is
the height of his alcoholism. I was trying to find it, but he was so hammy. It was so bad. And then I think they asked somebody else, and she wasn't really keen on getting Monty Woolley. But then she saw how wonderful he was. And Betty said she saw the play, and she immediately knew she wanted the part as his secretary, personal assistant, because she was sick of playing such dramatic roles, those big, big old roles.
Well, her part has a nice juicy angle on it, because Ann Sheridan plays this
over the top Broadway star.
Yeah, over the top actress who comes to visit, and
come to visit for a purpose.
For a purpose, and
Betty falls in love.
Betty falls in love with one of the local guys.
What did you think of that? I mean, his name, I had to look him up. His name is Richard Francis, I believe. And he played Bert Jefferson. And that was he had been in other movies, but uncredited. And this was his first major role, and he never really got another one again. What'd you think of him?
I thought he was okay. I mean, I don't think he was – to tell you the truth, I just didn't really leave with much of an impression of him.
Exactly. He was so bland.
But by the same token, he's supposed to be a Midwestern guy, and he's supposed to be sort of a bland type.
But he was stupid. He was like an oaf, because, he meets Betty, and she falls in love with him right away, and she's ready, and she wants to quit, but she said, I'm going to make him love me. And he gets her a gift, whatever, but there's no, like, smooching or anything like that, but, it's going that
way. It's hard to see the romance between Betty Davis's character
and him, because why? Yeah. And then, he just totally blows her off, and she still wants him. And then even at the end, she smooches him. I'm not going to say anything else, but it just doesn't, the romance part between her and him, I go, huh? What is she seeing this oaf? He just seems like an oaf, because he doesn't know how to be like a man.
Right.
With women, he just seems silly. They have wonderful supporting characters. Billy Burke.
The only supporting character that I have a little trouble with is my man Timmy Durante.
Oh, he was over the top too much.
He just overplays everything. Every movie I've ever seen. He's one of those characters, I think, that. He was popular in the 30s and 40s and even into the 60s, I guess, but he's just sort of over. He's just not, in a modern sense, he comes off as a big ham.
It's just too much. And now he was supposed to be a big ham. And also, he's supposed to be a huge movie star, which he wasn't. He was a character guy. But he was just so, and I know people say enjoy movies. I did like this movie, don't get me wrong. But it was just this characterization of Banjo, played by the Schnozzola guy, that I didn't like. And I loved Reginald Gardner. I thought he didn't really have a big role, but he was great. And he's also in another one of our Christmas movies.
And Billy Burke.
Christmas.
I love Billy Burke.
She was so adorable in that. And
Mary Wicks played the nurse, and she was the only two people who did the Broadway show and then later did the movie were Monty Woolley and Mary Wicks. And I thought she did a nice job as sort of the flustered nurse.
She did. And it was a part that's not really like a Mary Wicks part, because Mary Wicks, even if she played, if you see like now Voyager, when she's the nurse to Gladys Cooper, the mother, she's like, get out of here. I'll take care of her. Okay, princess. Okay, duchess. But this guy totally dominates and drives her nuts, as he does with everybody. He makes the family move upstairs, and he takes over everything.
Yeah, but it's a good movie.
I loved it.
It's a highly recommend. That's going to make my top five, too.
Yes, I really like that movie. Monty Woolley is – so obnoxious, yet he's so charming, and he looks like two people, a combination of two guys I know, because I'm trying to think, like, who does he? He looks like an old boyfriend of mine and an old schoolmate of mine combo without the mustache and the beard, yes. But he's absolutely adorable. I love his eyes. I think he's cute. He's also in another Christmas movie we're going to discuss. And I thought he was perfect. He was great. And I liked Betty. And she was cute. Remember, she'd always do that little laugh.
I thought she did a very good job.
I did, too.
One other little meaningless piece of trivia is when Moss Hart wrote the play – he sort of built these characters around some of the people that he knew.
And
the Jimmy Durante, the over-the-top comic, was actually he based that on Harpo Marx.
Ew, I get it.
So Jimmy Durante may have been sort of playing the thing to the part to a little bit by being so obnoxious.
Oh, I believe he was supposed to be so over-the-top like that. And I liked Jan Sheridan. You know, her character was like – very, broad. If you know these grand dames of Broadway, especially in that era, they were like queens. And she played it that way. And I have to say, for those of you, because someone noticed this, I had a boyfriend for a short time, and we're still friends, who loved TCM. He studied film at UCLA. And he is the one who told me, oh, my God, Ann Sheridan's nipples. She's not wearing a bra. And did you notice on that dress, if you noticed
in this movie?
Yes. She's wearing, and it has hands clasping, you know, like how it's supposed to be shut. They're hands, three hands clasping, and she doesn't seem to be wearing a bra. So I was told this. So if you think I'm being, you know, some weirdo who's looking at her nipples, informed.
All I know is I'm going to have to watch this movie again.
She's so cute. But look for the hand things. That's the first time I've ever seen
that. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well. He's very observant, especially about nipples.
Yeah, I don't know. That worries me. I'm sort of slipping here. I didn't catch that.
But I would highly recommend, and it's a really fun movie. Like, the only thing I didn't get was what Betty's character saw in this strip.
Yeah, and it was a different type of character. But again, it was nice to see Betty in just maybe a little bit lighter role.
And, like, very likable, very sweet. Not by any means meek. She was wonderful. So I really, I enjoyed that movie a lot. Okay, number six.
The next one is Holiday Inn, 1942. Mm-hmm. This is a movie with Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby.
I think the woman's Marjorie Reynolds, right?
Marjorie Reynolds, which surprises me because I can't think of another movie that I recall seeing her on, and I checked her IMDb page, and you know, the next one they list is The Times of Their Lives, which is an Abbott and Costello movie.
Wow.
It's funny because her part is so big. I mean, she is performing. Have you seen this?
Yes, I thought she's great in that movie. I thought she was very good.
Oh, I think she is, too.
Yeah.
I thought she was very good in it, but it's a part where she has a lot of screen time and a lot of singing and dancing. This movie, Holiday Inn, is really – it was – first of all, it was directed by Mark Sandrich, who did all of the Ginger and Fred movies. And it's really – in my mind, it's a vehicle to do a lot of song and dance routines about Irving Berlin's songs.
Right.
And – the premise is, and it gets, the premise gets a little tiring after a while, is that Fred and Bing are fighting over our girl Marjorie, and they're using various nefarious means of trying to win her over, including kidnapping her and locking the other guy away.
But first,
and all these things.
I want to say that it is what it does is Bing just kind of goes out into, I guess it's supposed to be Connecticut or upstate New York or something. He gets this great big beautiful house and turns it into a nightclub but only on holidays. That's why it's mm-hmm. called Holiday Inn. So it's not just Christmas, it's 4th of July, it's all those dates.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day, it's Washington's birthday.
Jefferson's birthday.
Thanksgiving. Yes. Yeah, it's all these. And I think, and the premise is we have all these Irving Berlin songs about these holidays. You know, let's try to get a paper-thin plot to tie them all together and get, probably the best crooner at the time or most famous crooner, Bing Crosby, the best dancer, Fred Astaire together, and let's do just some really high-priced numbers with them.
Yeah, wasn't that the first time White Christmas was actually heard in that film?
It's the start of White Christmas, and that's why, you talk about is something a Christmas movie? Really, the Christmas portion of that movie really isn't all that much.
It's minute, yes.
Yeah, it's minute because, again, there's a part about Thanksgiving in there.
It means every holiday. It's every holiday, yeah, not just Christmas.
Yeah, but you're right. This is where White Christmas, this is the first performance of White Christmas. And this is really, it wasn't a hit before this movie. And then once it started getting some radio play, and it was became very popular with the troops overseas. Mm. And that's where it became such a mammoth hit.
Love it, though. I still love it. I love this song.
It's a gorgeous song.
Okay.
And that's why, 10 years later, it has its own movie. They wrote their own movie about the song.
And they figured out how to work it. The next one is Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis. This is a great Judy Garland movie, one of her best. This is actually the movie, a little bit of trivia. This is the director in this movie was Vincent Minnelli. And this is the movie where they sort of ended up
falling in love,
and their whole fling started. Yeah. And it was also Judy really started having some of her problems in terms of not showing up on time and having various issues. But it's a very good movie. Production qualities are excellent. Great. It's in color. It's a very watchable movie, even for movie people who aren't into old movies and can't stand the black and white. It's another movie where the Christmas thing is not center stage. It's just a very short snippet.
Yeah, and it created that beautiful song that's now a holiday classic, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which is beautiful.
Yeah, which is beautiful. In my mind, though, the movie, the person who steals the movie is Margaret O'Brien.
Yeah, she was quite the scene stealer, yeah.
Yeah, she was all of 9 years old.
She was the baby sister.
Yes, she was the very baby sister, and she, like you said, she's quite the scene stealer. Mary Astor's in there, so you've got some good supporting cast in there. The father was what was the father's name? Leon Ames. So
wasn't he also the father with Mary Astor in Little Women?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I thought so. They were quite the team. So you consider us a Christmas movie or no?
I'm going to say, if I had to say yes or no, I'd say no.
And
I think the Christmas part of it is so small.
Yeah. Well, my part, I have to be honest, I have never seen this movie all the way through because I am not a huge fan of musicals. That's just not the genre I like a lot. I can see them, but I just never saw it all the way through. So I cannot give my opinion, but I know people love it and it plays on Christmas and that's what matters. Yeah. So there. Next.
Okay.
I love the next one.
I do too. This is one of my... This is one of my favorites. It's I'll Be Seeing You.
It's one of my top fives, definitely.
And it's got Ginger Rogers and Joseph Cotton, and it is I think it's unlike some of the other ones we've been covering, which have a little bit of a comedic and light tone to it. This has a sort of a very serious feel to it.
Right, because Ginger meets on a train, and Ginger, which, you know, she's being furloughed from a woman's prison, and she meets Joseph Cotton, who is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or shell shock that they used to call it.
Yeah, they called it battle fatigue then. But now looking back, we recognize it to be PTSD.
And he was amazing. They actually had him having one of his panic attacks and him talking himself out of it. And it was really, I mean, it's not like something you go, oh, how romantic Christmas movie, but it was a romantic Christmas movie. And they fell in love, these two kind of lost souls, and they each gave each other a certain strength. And it's a beautiful film, and I love that song. I love I'll Be Seeing You. And it co-stars Shirley Temple as
Shirley Temple.
Ginger's cousin, who could be just thoughtless. And remember, she had... Like, she had her cousin took the wrong towel. She had a cousin because she was in jail, so I guess she had major cooties. And she had, you know what I mean? She had those. Okay, those are your towels. And Ginger, by mistake, didn't really see that. And she wiped her hands, so then she had to fix it. And then in the closet, there's this huge little bit of a space, my clothes, and you can put your clothes here. And she was just Shirley Temple. She was probably 18 in that, and she was just kind of not very worldly, and she certainly learned her lesson in the end.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of the part of it was that she was sort of a foil.
Spoiled little child. She was
She showed sort of the vulnerability of both of these people.
Yes.
So William Dieterle was the director, and then George Cukor actually worked on this thing also. So
it's a wonderful film. I don't even think it's going to be on TCM this year. You know, it's so funny. They're doing all these weeks and they put certain things up, but it is beautiful. I love it. I love Ginger. I love Joseph Cotton. Spring Byington's there as her aunt. There is just really, it's a sweet movie. It's a romantic movie. It's not one of those movies where you go, yippee, or, oh, you know, it has pathos. It has lots of stuff going on. But it is a beautiful, beautiful movie, beautifully acted.
Yeah, I would recommend it highly.
Yes, and it is really a wonderful Christmas movie. It's really, right. I get like, you know, choked up when I see it. I love this flick. Which is the next one?
My next one is speaking of movies that are funny, and this is probably my favorite Christmas movie. I think I'm going to go ahead and say it is my favorite Christmas movie, and that's Christmas in Connecticut. And this is the movie with Barbara Stanwyck and I just drew a blank on the name of the
Dennis Morgan.
Dennis Morgan.
I think he's so cute.
Yeah. And the story is, and this is just, it's a great, great plot, is our girl Barbara is a columnist or, you know, feature writer on domestic bliss. And she's created this entire genre or entire construct of having a farm in Connecticut with a husband, a baby boy,
and she can cook. She writes these huge menus every month.
And you know, imagine sort of Martha Stewart is the way I would sort of imagine it.
But who ain't a Martha Stewart? Who just, you know, she gets the recipes from her friend, and she just fakes it. But she makes a lot of dough when it's like their most popular column, Elizabeth Lane, right? Elizabeth Lane.
Right. And actually, the story, the character is taken from a woman who was a columnist for, I think it was Family Circle magazine or something like that, that was sort of a Martha Stewart type of person, you know, 50 years before Martha Stewart. What happens is that her publisher, who is played by Sidney Greenstreet, decides that with the war effort, it would be great if a sailor would spend Christmas in Connecticut at her farm.
Well, how that actually came to happen is Jaffe met that Southern nurse, which I can't believe all those weeks he didn't learn that girl's name. Come on. She's a cute dish, and he didn't even bother to learn her name. How rude. So he plays it up to her so he can get good food and stuff. And, you know, he has to go and pretend that he wants to marry her. And so she sees that he's afraid of domesticity. And she reads him, you know, because he loves those books, too. And he says, stop, I'm hungry, whatever. And so she took care of Sidney Greenstreet's grandchild, nursed her back to health. And she told him about Jaffe. And that's where he got the idea from. And that's when he contacted Elizabeth. Or Barbara.
So they, long story short is that they end up in a farm in Connecticut, which is owned by our man Reginald Gardner, who wants to marry Barbara.
But Barbara's not in love with him.
He's proposed with his sort of the you'll grow to love me approach, which never worked.
And it's funny, she said, can you wait that long?
and Sidney Greenstreet, of course, who actually Sidney Greenstreet, I've never seen him in anything remotely comedic before, is really funny here because he's always sort of he sort of takes over a conversation.
He's adorable in this movie. I love him in this movie. I love him anyway. I mean, even when he's a big creep, I just love him.
The hilarity ensues, and also Sokol, who is the
Uncle
place
Felix.
For Uncle Felix,
yes.
Who's really the guy who's writing the
does the menus
for us, is there, and he you know, of course, is Hungarian, and then Una O'Connor is Reginald Gardner's
housekeeper,
housekeeper and cook, and she's Irish and he's Hungarian, and they're fighting over that
goulash, all the paprika.
she's making some kind of a like an Irish stew, and he throws a bunch of paprika in it.
Now it's goulash. Yes. So what was funny is also Uncle Felix was brought there as being the guy who makes sure that wedding doesn't happen, because he does not want her to marry Reginald Gardner. He thinks he's a stiff and a creep and a cheapo, which you see in the beginning. He gives the guy a tip of a dime. And then when Mr. Wonderful, Dennis Morgan, with those chomp, beautiful teeth and smile and dimples comes through, he gives the guy a buck tip, you know, so you just automatically see the difference. And Uncle Felix stops the wedding. But of course, Dennis Morgan and Sidney Greenstreet think that Elizabeth and Reginald Gardner are married, but they ain't. And she's pretty much a fast forward chick in this, right? She goes after him, pretend I wasn't married and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And she really goes after him. And if I'm going to put the clip to this where they have outtakes from this movie with Dennis Morgan teasing her and kissing her. Hey, that's not in the script. And then I guess when she's sitting on his lap, I think he positions his leg between her legs. And he laughs. And like Lauren Bacall said, what a wolf. Yeah, about Dennis Morgan. He had six kids. And he was still a wolf. Yes.
But the funniest part of the movie to me is, and just one thing, is when they're dealing with the baby, and Barbara tells him that the baby's name is Robert and it's a little boy, and they change the baby and they find out it's a girl,
Roberta.
and then Barbara has no idea how to diaper the baby or wash it or do anything with it. It's hilarious.
Yes, and I think Dennis Morgan actually knew, because he had so many kids, he must have helped once in a while, I hope.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he
Because he looked like a pro, that this was not something that he, you know, okay, have to learn this. He was a pro with some baby diapers and things like that. It was just a really, it's a fun movie. It is a sweet movie. I love it. It's a romantic movie. And it's definitely a Christmas movie. It is such a wonderful movie. And if you, it is very different from what's the one we were just talking about.
I'll Be Seeing You.
Yes, it's so different, but it's great in its own, because it's a comedy. It's great in that genre, whereas this is more of a drama, romance kind of thing. And it's a wonderful film. Please see it. I totally recommend it. It is fab.
The next we have is probably the mother of all Christmas movies, I fair to say, and that's It's a Wonderful Life, 1946, with James Stewart and Donna Reed.
And I think this is one of the best, I have to say, some of the best acting he ever did. And this was not released at Christmas. This was released, and it did not do well at the movie, at the box office. And this is the first film he did when he came home from the war. And so he felt, you know, he didn't want to do really trite things after he'd seen everything he had seen. And he didn't want to be, you know, doing big love scenes and things like, you know, he had a blue period. Let's, you know, he's feeling down, whatever. And I actually, this is one of my favorite Christmas movies. I love it. I think he's wonderful. I know so many people think it's schmaltzy, cornball, all that stuff. It is, but it also has such dark moments, too. I mean, he tries to commit suicide, for goodness sake, when he's home with the children. And, you know, he starts screaming, why do we have so many kids? And what do you think, I am a dictionary? And all that, and stop playing. And Zuzu, well, Zuzu got away with it, all right. She was upstairs. But he really, it's so sad because he really strives to be a traveler, to get out of that town, to do everything. And he just feels like he's the hugest failure in the world because he never got out of there. But circumstances, sometimes beyond his control, happened. And just his sense of morality and not being able to leave the savings and loan. And
and in the end, he finds out that the value of his life.
That it was not for nothing. And like his brother Harry said, you know, to my brother George, the richest man in town. And it's a sweet movie. I don't care that people, it's one of my favorites. It's in my top five. I love this movie. And I like Jimmy Stewart acting at that bar when he's like looking so despondent. And he's like, I'm not a praying man, please God, whatever. And he's like, tears coming down. He's unshaven, everything. And then the teacher's husband says, who's this? This is what, George? This is George Bailey. And then he sucker punches him and punches George. And George gets the cut lip. And he said, yeah, that's what praying does for you. And then he's going to commit suicide off the bridge because his life insurance policy, which really isn't that much money. It's a whole thing, and I think most people have seen it, and I love this movie. I think it's sweet. I watch it not even at Christmas time. I just do. Yeah. Do you like this movie?
Well, it's I like this movie a lot. It's rated, IMDb rating on, it's 8.6. Mm-hmm. It's the 79th highest movie in terms of popularity. Wow. So it's top 100. I like it a lot. I think there's a good story, and it's a Frank Capra movie, and this is, you know, this is Frank Capra at his best. This is his sweet spot right here. You know, it can be a little schmaltzy, but, you know, I like schmaltzy.
So do I. And it's not like every movie I see is a schmaltz burger, but I love this film. I love the acting, and I just, you know, I look at Beulah Bondi, you know, first as mom, and then the other mom had George not lived. You know, and how it would be, because I've often thought, because of this movie, what would it be like if I didn't live? Would it even matter? Because I do that myself, because I have no savings and loan or anything like that. Would it really have mattered? And it's really a provocative question, and you wonder how much difference you can make in other people's lives. Did you really matter? And it shows you how much you can matter. And even when you don't believe that you do. And
right.
And it's a beautiful movie to me. I love it.
Right. The next one we have is Miracle on 34th Street. This is 1947. This is another, you know, if there's such a thing as a triumvirate of Christmas movies, I'd probably say it was It's a Wonderful Life, this movie, Miracle on 34th Street, and then White Christmas. I mean, those are the three that almost always, you know, it will almost always be considered when people talk about Christmas movies.
I love this movie.
I like it. I'm not, you know, I can't say that it's one of my favorites. I mean, it's a good movie. I like it. It's got a sweet, you know, feeling to it. It has the little Natalie Wood in it, you know, but it's not in my top five. It's probably sixth or seventh.
Well, I think it's probably sixth or seventh for me because I'm looking at all these other movies that I love. So, I think the premise is sweet, and I just remember watching it as a child, and this is always imprinted in me that it was snowing out. We were putting up our Charlie Brown Christmas tree because my dad had been ill, and he had been, when you're ill, your sick pay, he'd been out so long that the sick pay wasn't paying anymore, you know. Yeah. It was out so long because he almost died. So we did get a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It was tall, but with no branches, and we all remember, my sister Anne and I remember it very well. But it was our Christmas tree. It was our special Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And so we were putting up the tree. Miracle on 34th Street was on. It was snowing out. And then like at about 7 or maybe it was about 7 p.m., my mother's listening to the radio. And it announces that because it's snowing so much, we got a snow day the night before. You got it. So it was like, woo! I remember cheering, yay! And so that movie always reminds me of that wonderful time of the snow, of the Charlie Brown Christmas thing. So it has a very warm spot in my heart. And Edmund Gwenn was fabulous, I got to say that. And he did win Best Supporting Actor for that role. And he was great. Also starring our lovely Maureen O'Hara and John Payne. And
the redhead O'Hara, the redhead Maureen.
Yeah, she's beautiful. And I love the film. But I think so much has to do with the fact of what I just told you about.
Yeah, and that's how all these movies, because that's the thing about a Christmas movie or a Christmas song, is it becomes sort of part of your own personal or your own family
right.
celebration.
Yes.
You know, for instance, one of the movies that will come up here is a Christmas Story, you know, from 1983.
Right.
And, our family, you know, we watched that on Christmas Day with our kids from the time they were small. So it's just part of our family.
That's so nice. And it's nice to have those kind of things.